podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Scoutcast. My name is Joe.
And my name is Andy.
Welcome. We usually say welcome to Seb as well, but Seb has been in touch and said that his internet is of a point where it's below a ZX Spectrum dial-up Alexander Graham Bell. It was of a level where I don't think we could have a conversation. So he'll be back next week. He's got a booster. Coming in, and a booster is just what I've had a few hours ago at Haynes Motor Museum in Somerset, where they give the jabs down my way, which is
very nice.
Andy, what is coming up in the show?
Yeah, we got a lovely show today, obviously, because we've had the international break, and I think people are bored of watching England win easy games, so it's going to be looking forward to getting back into FPL now. We're going to do our roundup of Game Week 11. To be honest, just to remind me and Joe what happened, because I actually, just before you came on, had to remind myself what score I got. Then we're going to go to Joe, who's going to be talking about Kane and Son and the challenge of perma-captaining Salah as well. And we're going to be looking at the community's uni-Kane pictures. Yes, that's right. That is an actual feature on our show tonight.
Yep. The main feature.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good.
The rest is dross. That's the benefit. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting all these updates coming up on my laptop right at the wrong time. Go away. Then we are looking at topic number two, which is my topic, which is Crystal Palace. I did not think this year I would be doing a whole topic on Crystal Palace, but there it is. That is how much they've improved this year. Mm. So I think they deserve it. Then topic three, Joe's going to be talking about goalkeepers, because a lot of people, unfortunately, not unfortunately for me because I didn't own him, but Sanchez was in goal for them and he obviously got sent off. Yeah. So what are we going to do if we now don't have a goalkeeper this week? Or do we look to move him out? Mm. What is it we're looking to do?
Or you're like me and you've got the Brentford goalkeeper, not the good one.
Yeah, exactly. What do we do then as well? Then we're going to have a look at goals in imminent, look at our next four fixtures, look at the community team, which is Alex's team, and then talk about our differentials and do our team reveals as well. So we've got a donut week, which is a jam-packed one.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Welcome to all those that are joining us in the live chat. I almost said jiving with us in the live chat, but you're welcome to jive and join us. Steve Elbows, Delia. Delia's is going to appear in a bit with her amazing pictures that she's done for us. Lynn, Eddie, Tony, FPL Focal. He's number two in the world, isn't he? FPL Focal, have I got that right?
I know he does fantastic videos, doesn't he?
I might have promoted him. Okay. Jack, Brokenshire, Mario and Rodrev and whoever else I have forgotten to mention. Thank you so much for joining us in the live chat. Just 12 likes. Oh my God, that's tiny. We've got lots of you here. So do press the like button. It does something to do with youth and algorithms and YouTube. We usually have a rough with a smooth, but it was so long ago, we're not going to bother with that. We just find this just too long ago. So we'll sort of do a little bit on our team. So remind ourselves what the hell is going on. So our game weeks, I'll go first. It turns out I had my best ever game week of the season. I got 70 points, but I got a game week rank of about 100k. So that propelled me back up to near, where am I? 117,341. So a nice green arrow. Cancelo, massive returns. Alexander Arnold, Livramento, who I played. He didn't come off the bench, he was there. Salah, a little return. Rafinha, lots of people getting rid of Rafinha. I was delighted because he's great. And I just want him to play all the time. Kane and Antonio did not do well for me, but it's Armstrong. And Armstrong is the reason I did so well this week in terms of a rank rise. He got me 9 points. He's owned by, 1-2%? So pretty much all of that 9 points goes on to my score. So unlike when, say, Salah scores and captain, he's 190% owned. I'm getting a minute bit of those points. It's nothing.
Yeah.
But Armstrong, fully 9 points. And that is the beauty of a sort of a Chris Wood Armstrong, Trossard, all of these differentials. And if you've got those players that can score well and be a differential, they can give you a rank rise. So that could be my only one this season, but I'm going to cherish the memory of Armstrong's goal there. Andy, another good week for you as well. You got a green arrow last week. I maliciously gave you a red arrow.
I know.
But you had a green arrow last week. Green arrow again this week. So yeah, tell us about your game week.
Yeah, so I was saying to Joe just before we started that I'm basically just trying to slowly claw my way back from captaining Havertz that week. And actually, I've been doing okay. Two green arrows, there's nothing more you can ask for, really. About 100K rise this week. Cancelo and Alexander-Arnold, I know quite a few people had them, but it was nice to see them get a return, 26 points between them. Havertz finally getting me a goal, which was lovely as well, which meant I needed to change my profile picture on Twitter too for a little while. Saka, oh, he's so the nerly man all the time. Like, obviously, he had a goal chalked offside. Yeah. He looks so good. His stats are so similar to Smith Rowe, but he just doesn't seem to get those returns. And I know what's going to happen. As soon as I sell him, he's going to he's going to return.
You just got to stick with him. Smith Rowe is the... But in these types of decisions, the sort of 50-50, you just stick with him. It's like both of us own Chilwell. There's a temptation to move to James, but then you move to James and it'll be Chilwell who gets those points.
Yeah. That's exactly how it feels. And I just liked Saka. I liked Smith Rowe anyway, but when I got Saka on my wild card, Saka was pretty much nailed, and Smith Rowe, everybody was still like, I'm not really sure he's going to be playing every game. And obviously he's done very well, but stats wise they're very, very similar. So I will be sticking with Saka. Foden, meh. The Brentford boys, I'm so disappointed with. Tony and Mbeumo. I mean, nobody was expecting a loss to Norwich, and let alone Tony and Mbeumo not to do anything, either of them. So yeah, a little bit disappointed there. Livramento first on my bench, which the first time this season that's happened, but to be honest, I'm fairly happy. 59 points, 100k green arrow, we move, isn't it, is what they always say. So I'm fairly happy.
I think with them, I one of the Meet the Manager videos I did a few weeks ago now, with an ex-pro, and one of the things that he was saying about Mbeumo is that he didn't like him because he kept hitting the woodwork, and so other people were saying he's getting the woodwork, that's, you know, he's going to score soon, and he just saw that as inefficient and being an inefficient player, wasteful.
And they do count it as a shot off target.
It is indeed off target. It's close to the goal, but it's off target. I don't think I made a move in that regard. But if looking for that type of player, Smith Rowe, Gallagher, and we'll talk about Palace in a bit, Trossard, these are all above Mbeumo for me now. Yeah. And indeed the case with Tony. Tony's the one I fear because he is so well owned by engaged managers. But he's a striker for a promoted side. He is what he is. no more or less.
And he's priced that way as well. Yeah. He's still a kind price. And the thing is, he's got penalties. You know, if they get a penalty, he's going to be there. So that the floor is always a little bit higher than some of the strikers out there. Yeah. But I mean, is there much of a difference between Tony and Pukki at the moment? No, and nobody's going Pukki, are they?
No.
So interesting one.
No, or Armstrong, thank God.
Yeah. True.
So may that long continue. Although I'm probably going to get rid of Armstrong in a couple of weeks. But there are lots of other strikers, like say Callum Wilson, Chris Wood. Yeah. There are others that can come in the mix, which is why I still like that third striker spot, who's, you know, around that 6 million, because you can dive onto these players, and it is very temporary, the form with these guys. It's like Sidibe. I think it was Sidibe at Stoke. Remember, I got him in, and I got a couple of goals out of him, but it's very temporary for about a month, and you know, barely owned. And these types of players, they're the ones that can get you that rank rise. So we are going to be talking about Kane and Son, and you know, whether they can challenge the likes of Salah for the captaincy, or indeed, you know, which one we should bring into our team. But before we do that, last time we were on, Kylie was in studio. I say studio, she's in a house, and then we had a Zoom chat on the Scoutcast. But she was talking about the unicorns of the game for FPL dreamers. So these legendary, like Armstrong, Chris Wood, and indeed Kane, very low owned differentials, and they could do well. And that's what we all dream of. So we came up with the Unicane, and luckily, there's lots of really creative people in the community. who've come up with some pictures. So I've done them in a sort of a sliding scale of you'll see. So here's the first one.
What's happened?
This is Andy Nash. It's just simply a lovely unicorn, and he's just talking about some first half hat trick sparkle in preparation for Leeds. While people listen to that, if anyone's of an age and they can remember Take Heart with Tony Hart, when he has the gallery scene, they have the music in the background while we show all the kids pictures. Just have that imagining in your head. We can't obviously afford the copyright for that. So here's the second one. This is from Delia, who is in the live chat. She's got a couple in here, so this is one of hers. Obviously, I could do better things with my time, she says, but I felt very inspired after listening to the latest Scoutcast featuring Kylie and Joe and yourself. So kept saying Kane could be this season's unicorn dancing across dreamland. So yeah, Andy, for the benefit of those listening on the podcast, what is this of Kane?
I mean, it's Kane and a unicorn Monday.
There we go. It's that simple. So, okay.
Kill me now.
Here's the third one. This is for the North London Derby. So the famous Saka. There was a whole bunch, quite a few of them on their unicorn inflatables. Yeah. And Dan Parsons has got, Kane's face on that. So there we go. Saka riding Kane. So on Unicane 4. Okay, yeah, right, this is where we start to get into the nitty-gritty.
I was so happy when I was invited on the Scoutcast this year. And I'm not really sure what's happened.
Well, this is it. This is what's happened. So FPL
content, that's what I wanted to do. Serious content.
FPL, yes, it's serious. This is it. I mean, people with their stats and their tables, this is it. This is where it's all happening. FPL Gazza, Geordie FPL on Twitter. Quite disturbing, if I'm honest, Joe, but couldn't resist. What's he done here for the benefit of those listening?
Oh, God, hang on. I'm trying to keep up on the YouTube stream. Let me bring it up on Slack. So let me have it up on two different things. So it's basically a picture of Kane with a unicorn horn holding a cat who's also got a unicorn horn.
Mm, yeah. Oh, no, that's not that one. Oh, no, you need to be on the screen. This is a semi-naked Kane with the unicorn.
Sorry.
I jumped ahead. Directly below the Saka one. Let's go for this one then. So you've just described this one. So the next one here, this is from FPL Greyhead, one of ours, the Unicane. Describe this one again.
So it's Kane with a unicorn horn holding a cat with a unicorn horn as well. It's very sweet.
it's beautiful. And last one, people may be either happy or sad to know this is the last one. This is Delia's one. So this is the last one. So this is a not suitable for work version. I'm assuming that's not an Australian county. Please, can you describe this one?
So it's kind of a
it's the bottom one.
Naked. It's a kind of like a naked man with a unicorn horn, and Kane's face has been photoshopped onto it. I'm a teacher, Joe. I'm not sure whether I can be a part of this anymore.
No, you can't. So luckily we've moved on for them. But I'm hoping this picture goes up all over Twitter when Kane scores his third hat trick in a week. So once again, a bit like last week. So it's a bit of an update really on Kane and Son and Spurs. Last week we focused on whether Son and Kane were worth investing in with Conte managing Spurs. They didn't exactly excel in their audition, but with 2 weeks past, Conte is now banning condiments, so he's already started. A Kane hat trick times two during the week. Salah's captaincy credentials taking a bit of a hit, especially with Arsenal coming up. I think you said on Twitter it doesn't scream Hall, and yes, it probably doesn't.
I was going to talk about that a little bit later, actually, because I think Arsenal's defensive stats are going under the radar a little bit.
Yeah.
They are very, very good defensively at the moment.
And so we wonder if it's now not only time to consider bringing in Son or Kane, but also handing one of them the armband too. So we've had some community questions. Matt Kent, has Kane's hat tricks during the international break, giving us a little more confidence that he will do well during Spurs' kind fixture run and that he could, in fact, be a better option than Son. So Tottenham have Leeds coming up next at home, then Burnley, and then Brentford at home, and then Norwich at home. It's a lovely set of four fixtures. I hope Kane does well as a Kane owner there. Andy Mack for Vardy owners. Is it worth transferring him out for Kane if you can? And Mack, no relation, says Son, Kane, none or both. And then Comrade asks a linked question. If Robertson is out for a few weeks, who is the best third Liverpool option? Jota and Tsimikas. So how long does Robertson need to be out for before Tsimikas a better option than Jota? So the reason he's asking that, obviously Robertson is injured. We don't know the extent of that. It could be out this weekend. It could be out for longer. It could be available to play this weekend. We don't know. But Tsimikas would fill in there. The reason I mentioned him, he's 3.9. Kane is a lot of money. Son is a lot of money. You're going to need probably maybe two transfers and need to find money somewhere. Tsimikas could be the guy to do it. So taking all that in, Andy, have you got any Spurs? Are you thinking of getting any Spurs?
I will do. So I 100% will do. So it's Havertz to Son is what I'm most likely doing this week. And I've had that planned in since I got Havertz in. So Havertz was always a 3-week punt for me. To be honest, apart from the captaincy where he blanked and Salah hauled, he got an assist and a goal and he got me quite a few points. So I'm not too disappointed with that as a punt. But it was always going to be for 3 weeks and then I'll be going to be more than happy to move him off for Son because I've got the money to be able to do that. So that's still what I'm thinking of doing in my head. I have been thinking an awful lot, and I think this is happening a lot when people are talking about Kane or Son. They're saying which one they prefer, and I think they're only saying the one they prefer based on who they can get to.
Exactly. I think I agree with you on that, yeah.
And I'm very torn between the two. I feel like Son is somebody that will do well regardless of what happens with Conte. I feel like he could do well in any team in the world, to be honest. I do feel like Kane relies quite a lot on the supply, and I don't know whether there's a lot of supply in this team at the moment. And I'm not sure whether Conte's going to have been in for long enough to have made that much of a difference yet. No. I think he's a big person in terms of fitness and getting their fitness up and working hard and making sure players around him are working hard or he just gets rid of them. And I don't think he's been there long enough to make that much of a difference. The only thing I will say is the reason I do like Kane over Son is because I feel like he's a much better captaincy option than Son. So I do like the thought of having Salah, and at the moment I'm looking at my team and I don't really have a lot of captaincy options apart from Salah, whereas when you've got Kane, automatically he's that captaincy option. You know, we've just seen it in the international break. He loves taking penalties. He takes a mean penalty, obviously. It doesn't matter.
The second one against San Marino, that was amazing.
No one was saving that, were they? And I just think that would be the reason I would maybe be edging towards Kane if I was being completely unbiased. But I do love Son when he's in form. Mm. And the fact he's a midfielder and gets that extra point as well. And if they get a goal, it's most probably going to be, you know, Kane goal, Son assist, Son goal, Kane assist, whatever it is. So I'm torn between the two of them. But if you gave me the option of both and I could get either for no hit, I think I probably would edge Kane.
Yes. I mean, I have Kane. And I do agree it's very team specific. My promotion of Kane is around he's good for my team. I also like the fact that it goes well with this unicorn thing and that's another reason I like him, but that's not for my team, but just in terms of, you know, for content. But in terms of recommending Son, I think it is so team specific, and I hear this all the time. But if you have, like, you have a Havertz, so a Havertz to Son is an easy move. I had Ronaldo as Manchester United's fixtures were coming poor, so it was an easy move to me. I didn't really have that Son role. So whichever way you've got, I mean, it's very unlikely you're going to have the luxury of being able to make both moves this week. But if you've got Vardy, that would be a temptation. If you've got Havertz, if you've got another midfielder who's perhaps 7.5 or something, and you've got another 2 million you can get for somewhere on a 2 frees, you can do that. And we'll come to the community team a bit later with Alex's team that we're managing, and we have 2 free transfers. We can do either or. We can do Kane and a make weight, or Son and a make weight. And so we'll come to that a bit later. So we are in exactly that same position. So I think it is team specific. I think everyone needs to look at their team and think, is it easier for me to get Son or Kane? And also, where do I want to go with that down the line? So I don't want to discount Ronaldo. I have at the moment, but I don't want to permanently. And I think to Ronaldo is a move down the line.
I think that's a clever way of looking at it, because when you look at midfield, there's a lot of those midfielders I could end up wanting. So there's a lot of midfielders that, you know, I could quite happily own instead of Son at times. Yeah. Whereas you look up top, and there's really not many people we're going to want, I don't think. And Kane's one of them at the moment. Mm. And apart from that, premium's up top. I mean, you can easily own Kane, Antonio, Tony, Huang, whoever it is you want, is that a cheaper option as well. And it still looks absolutely fine. And I'm just, I do think when those fixtures change for United, you are going to be wanting to move someone like Kane to someone like Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Whereas me, I'm probably going to be having to save a free transfer beforehand if I don't want to do it without a hit. No. And move some funds around and upgrade Antonio or something like that to Ronaldo and downgrade Son. So it's going to be a lot harder for me. But,
I think if somehow, you know, the way my team was, if I was sitting here with Son in my team, not Kane, then I would actually be thinking, well, okay, Manchester United's fixtures are going to get better. Are they going to improve? Well, let's have a look at the next few games and see. Son to Rashford. Son, if I can find a
Bruno.
Bit more, to Fernandes, exactly. So I wouldn't think of Ronaldo. I think if you've got Kane, you can start thinking Ronaldo very easily. If you've got Son, you can start thinking about those. I mean, I thought Rashford's been looking great whenever he's played.
Yeah, he has. I think it's the competition for places in his position, though. That's what would throw me off, because he's not cheap either. No. Is he still 9.5 or something? Yeah. So to be honest, I think if I were to go that way and I'd be going away from Ronaldo, I'd be going Bruno, I think. Yeah. The creativity stats are still there.
Yeah.
And the fixtures coming up. Well, I think have we only had one penalty this year?
Yeah.
And he missed it. I think that was the only one. So we don't have any reason to believe he's not on pens. And I think that's probably the way I'd go if I wasn't going Ronaldo.
No, as far as we know, he is definitely on penalties.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some stats here. It's not just all about unicorn pictures here. We have some stats as well. This is expected goal involvement. This is something I put up on the captaincy video as well. But this is sort of more general for whether you want to bring players in as well. So this is the top 10 in terms of expected goal involvement last four. And I've then also added in Son, Kane, Ronaldo. They are further behind. So I think they're still in the top, say, 20, but they're further behind these lot here. So we can see Salah is in a league of his own. So if you are thinking about the captaincy, if you think that he can breach the Arsenal defence, he is, you know, more than capable. Firmino, we think will be injured. That looks pretty certain, but he's up there as well. Aubameyang, tough fixture this week, though. King at Watford against the league's worst defence, Manchester United. There we go. Bowen. Bowen is a player I hope I don't go to the end of the season without owning him, because he has been considered as an FPL asset. He's a really unsexy FPL asset. He is just chipping away with the assists, the odd goal. No one's getting him. No one's ever consider him. I think he's going to be, he's still a great option. Let's see when West Ham's fixtures improve. A few other names here. Benteke we'll speak about a bit later. Trossard. Now there was, I think it was Ivan in the chat was talking about that Brighton are going under the radar and Trossard. Can we speak about him? Last week, mate, he was my differential of the week. And Tony, who's also in the live chat, got him in as well. So I managed to convince Tony. And so he got him in and profited handsomely from his goal there.
He's playing a little bit more centrally, isn't he? I think he's a lot better when he is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Then we've got the likes of Mane, Foden, Norgaard at Brentford. But then Son is behind. So in terms of expected goal involvement, Salah, to put in perspective, Salah's 2.93, expected involved in basically three goals. Son, 1.69, so 1.5, maybe 2 goals. Kane, just below him, 1.4. So Kane's had a goal and an assist. Ronaldo's just behind him even further, 1.16. So before I consider Ronaldo, I want to see some improvement in that. I want to see him up in the, you know, at least 2 to 3.
But, yeah, tough with him, obviously. We got, you know, we didn't create an awful lot against City, did we? So that may skew it a little bit. But I'm looking here, and it was something that I was going to bring up, obviously, is that Arsenal, they've conceded four goals in the last eight games.
Yeah.
And the last three away games, and obviously they're playing away this week, they haven't conceded.
No.
In the last three away games.
I
know
the
fixtures have been kinder.
They have had a kind fixture.
But it's good form. You know, they're playing well. They're playing defensively. Yeah. They're not letting teams score a lot past them. I mean, they're not scoring a lot of goals themselves, which is probably why they know they have to be quite so defensive. I mean, it's one of those things, I think, where do we focus on the fact that Arsenal are turning into quite a good defensive team, or do we just focus on the fact that, you know, Salah is just in supreme form? And it is tough to go against Salah again.
Yeah, myself and Tom discussed it earlier on the captaincy video, so I do urge people to have a look at that for more my thoughts on it. But basically, I am going to be captaining Salah because I do think he'll return. And it is annoying, his effective ownership, and people don't like talking about it. It's like the elephant in the room, but you have to. Because
if
you don't captain Salah and you own him and he scores a goal, then you are getting 90% of a player scoring a goal against your rank. You're immediately slipping. Immediately. So get it. I mean, I had my best game week last week, captain Salah. Since I started re-captaining Salah again, I've got green arrows again. And the reason is because you can't slip too far back. All you can do is take that risk that someone's going to score more. And it could be Son and Kane. But as you said, they are unfit.
It can also be a gift, though. Mm. It can also be a gift that he's 200% EO, because what that does is take a lot of effective ownership away from all your other players. So, you know, I own Foden, I will own Son, and they've got nice fixtures this weekend. And I'm looking at it and thinking, well, actually, there's going to be a lot of other players in my team, pretty much all of them, where if they score, I'm getting their points, which is lovely. Yeah. So as long as Salah's your captain and he's not 200% EO, which he'll be just under it, you're still gaining for that, and you're still gaining for every other player in your team, which is big as well. But, you know, play it your way. If you don't fancy Salah against Arsenal, don't captain him. The thing is, for me, like I said, I'm looking at my team and I'm actually struggling to find any other captaincy options, really. And Foden is someone that I looked at. Cancelo, someone I looked at, because they're playing against Everton, who are pretty awful at the moment. And then Son would be probably my second choice. And if you had Kane, it is tempting, but I do agree with Joe. I think a lot of us got burnt not captaining Salah. And how effective his ownership is.
Well, last week, Kane's ownership for me around my rank was about 5%.
Yeah.
So even him getting 2 points was 2 points gain there.
Yeah.
But he, in the top 10,000, which I'm not in, he was 25%. That was last week. Now, he's two hat-tricks later. How much are the engaged manager's going to be looking at someone like Kane or Son? The Son is already up to nearly 20% amongst all managers. So already his ownership is going up. So they're not going to remain differentials too long if they do anything against Leeds. And Kane, I think if you're in the top 10,000, I think his ownership is going to be around 30, 40. I reckon it could go up to... It was 25% last week against Everton, them. So
it depends, because it depends whether the top 10K will have somebody up front that they can move to Kane, I guess. Because if they're in the top 10K, they probably haven't lost a lot of points on those strikers like a few of us have.
I think if they've got Ronaldo, still with Lukaku,
or they could start Ronaldo,
Vardy in particular... But around my rank and your rank and probably, well, everyone apart from 10,000 people Kane, just owning him is fine.
And I think that's it. I think just owning those other players is fine. And you look at it, even players like Trent, you know, Trent is still not owned by about 55% of people. So, no, it's more than that, 60% of people. So players like that you think are going to be so highly owned, still getting you lots of points. I think for me, sounds horrible, but I'll probably be on permanent captain with Salah until he goes off to AFCON. Well, and then that's the time to start moving things around a bit.
It's funny, on Twitter, the last set of matches, people saying, hope Salah can save my game week. Well, if you captained him and you own him and Alexander-Arnold, then he's just going to maintain your game week. He's not even going to do anything. Now, the real people who would benefit from any form of Liverpool goal or assist are those, you know, I've got Jota. Someone might have double Liverpool defence. someone might have, I don't know, whoever else has got, Origi they might have. These are the ones who are going to go, I hope they say, you know, I'm thinking there, I hope Jota saves my game week. But yeah. Salah, it's just gone. It's just the way the game is. And whether there's 7 million or 1 million, there's still the percentage you're playing against.
Yeah, no, I do agree.
Yeah. There's other managers, as well as Conte and his lack of condiments at Spurs. We've got Gerrard at Villa and Smith at Norwich. I like Smith's move from Villa to Norwich because he shows that he's a jobbing manager. You don't want to be sit on gardening leave. I didn't
like that sacking at all. I think he'd done an awful lot for them, and they'd sold their best player they probably ever had. And I don't know what they're expecting. I think did he lose four in a row and they got rid of him? I think that was a quite harsh, personally.
Yeah.
But there you go. I think Aston Villa's loss is Norwich's gain.
Yes. It's also FPL manager's loss as well, because he is our mortal enemy. Because he once said in a press conference that he doesn't live in the fantasy world. He's in the real world of football, and dismissed and tried not to give any early team news. Well, luckily he's at Norwich now, so I don't care about
him. Yeah, true.
At the moment, you can live in the real world all you like in East Anglia. But nevertheless, Norwich do have Southampton, Wolves, Newcastle and Tottenham. And you mentioned Pukki earlier. People are looking for a cheap striker.
Yeah, I'm going to be mentioning him at the end of the show.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But Pukki, I think, is a good bet. New manager bounce. Gerrard at Villa. Now, I don't know. Villa are weird, aren't they? Because they've got loads of really good players. And I can't work out, I mean, across the board, goal, defence, midfield, attack. I can't work out why they've been so poor. And I hope they still were poor this weekend against Brighton. But, I mean, do you know much about Gerrard and Rangers?
Gerrard, I mean, a lot of people have been saying about the right back, wasn't it, Tavernier, when he was at Rangers, and saying maybe Matty Cash can turn into that. But I don't see that personally.
No.
I think he's very organised as a manager. He's obviously very passionate and he'll make sure he gets the most out of his players. But I think Villa have quite a few problems at the moment. They've got a few injuries that have hurt them. And I don't think they're getting them. They know how to play the players they've got. People like Buendia, I think, people were hyping him up quite a lot, but I'm not sure he's quite got the work rate. And I don't know. I think there's a few problems there. Bringing Ings in when Watkins was doing fairly well up top by himself. There's a few things that aren't quite working there. So he might need to go back to the drawing board a bit. Yeah. So they're definite wait and see for me for quite a while.
When I was talking to Tom earlier on the captaincy video, he's a Villa fan and he was, he seemed to think Watkins could do well. It could be his Gerrard sort of player. I think he thinks he's going to be three up top. Instead of this sort of Ings Watkins front line, it'll be three. So it could be Watkins on the wing, could be. I think he also mentioned that Gerrard likes to play wingers quite narrow. So that could also be good news. But yeah, it's a wait and see, really. Yeah. So I'm going to be playing Jason Steele in goal for my team this week. It's one of those players you think, oh, is he in my team? But he gets a run out because Sanchez, but we'll talk about goalkeepers in a bit. Shall we move on to Crystal Palace? I'll put a picture up of Gallagher because he's the poster boy of fantasy managers.
Yeah, so Crystal Palace. So Joe always asks us at the beginning of the week, you know, do you want to do a bit of a topic on anything? And actually, I've been looking at Palace for ages. I talked about Gallagher, you know, after week one, week two, saying, oh, I tell you what, he's a tasty looking player. He's getting forward. He's got the energy. That's what I really liked about him, is that he lasts to the end of the game and he's coming up and down. He's a real kind of box-to-box midfielder. And I really liked the look of him at the beginning. And I wanted to do a little bit on Crystal Palace because people are thinking about who to get in, whether Gallagher is somebody we can hold long-term, whether we can look at some defensive players. And I will hold my hands up and say, I thought Palace were going to get ruined this year. Mm. I thought Vieira was going to come in. All that defensive solidity they had, I thought he was just going to ruin that and he was going to open them up, try and play football, and they were just going to get ruined every week. I could not have been more wrong. He is genuinely doing a very, very good job there.
Yeah.
And so when I look at it, I mean, last four games, in terms of XG from open play, they're fourth. They're fourth behind Liverpool, Man City and Chelsea. Love that. You know, for not thinking about penalties, you know, it's just from open play. Really, really like that. You know, they're above Leicester, they're above West Ham, they're above Man United, they're above Spurs, they're above Arsenal. they're fourth in the league. So I thought that was quite nice. The other thing as well, I wanted to try and have a bit of a look at whether Gallagher is the one to own or whether there's some other players we should be looking at. And for me, when I'm looking at all of them, the main ones I thought about up top that we could probably maybe consider is Benteke, who I know you're quite on.
Well, I've got some. Shall I put the stats up?
Yes, please.
These are last four game weeks, and I've sorted by expected goal involvement, but there's a few other stats like big chances created, shots on target, and of course, actual goals scored. So, yeah, these are the stats. So, yeah, carry on.
Lovely. And for me, I thought, you know, Zaha's always going to be in the conversation. He's a talisman for Crystal Palace, and rightly so. He does obviously get them out of the mire a lot. Benteke is somebody that is now getting the minutes, and I think, you know, if we can get him anywhere close to what he was like when he was at Villa, then we're going to have a player on our hands again. Gallagher's obviously there. Edouard isn't really getting a lot of the minutes that we want, and he's subbed quite early, so it's a tough one. Elise is another one that actually is starting to really come to grips with the Premier League, and I do quite like a lot too. But the thing for me that I thought was quite interesting was that I was looking at the last four, and Zaha was so far above Gallagher in terms of expected assists and expected goals. And I thought, I say so far above, he was above him in both. And I thought that was quite interesting. But Gallagher, I think, is kind of overperforming what we're seeing at the moment. But I think that price, you just can't ignore. No. You just cannot ignore the fact he's 5.8 million. And you can move pretty much any midfielder you've got, any underperforming midfielder you've got in your midfield to Gallagher. And I think you'd be quite happy. Benteke for 6.3 million, I would still struggle to get him in myself, I think.
Yeah.
I think those midfielders of Zaha and Gallagher are very, very nice. And I think that would be the way I was going. But I do also think Tyrique Mitchell at the back as well is quite a nice little player to get in. Yeah. 4.5 million. I know a lot of people are thinking about moving people down like Azpilicueta in their team because he obviously isn't performing. If they're not going to go to a Chelsea defender and they're going to go down and try and upgrade somewhere else, I think someone like Tyrique Mitchell was actually a very shrewd move personally. So for me, I think it's between Gallagher, Zaha and Mitchell. But I do think that going Zaha over Gallagher isn't a crazy move personally.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about our community team we're managing for Alex later, but on our wildcard 4 weeks ago, me pretty much just went for Zaha. I don't think you and Seb were involved in that. I think I just did it. And the reason I did Zaha was because I didn't think he would be well owned. I thought he would remain a differential, and I thought with their fixtures coming up, they'll do well. He can score against anyone, and once again, I think you're getting nice set of points from him. You're not getting like a bit of a point, a small percentage of his points. You're getting all of his points. And he's on penalties as well when Milivojevic isn't on the pitch. So looking at these stats here, Benteke absolutely in a league of his own when it comes to big chances. That is interesting. Zaha just behind with three. So Benteke with five big chances. But in terms of chance creation, once again, Benteke and Zaha are there. Edouard's there, Elise, Mitchell and MacArthur all there.
Yeah.
So that underlines Mitchell's potential for assists. But it's Gallagher with 10. And he's had five shots on target. And the thing I've noticed, and Palace fans might back this up as well, is fairly evident. If Milivojevic is on the pitch, Gallagher's taking less set pieces. And Gallagher does less well in terms of, as an FPL asset. Milivojevic isn't on the pitch, Gallagher's your man. I've had him for weeks in my Sky team, the weekly mention of my Sky team, and he's a gem, an absolute saviour, because you can captain him some days as well. He's been fantastic.
We're not expecting Milivojevic to play many minutes.
Great.
To be perfectly honest, he's past it now, and he's hardly got any legs left, bless him.
Which is great news for Gallagher owners and those like our community team with Zaha. It's Benteke is intriguing me, but more on that in a bit later. But I'm glad you said that about Mitchell as well, because if in our community team we're managing, we want to get Kane in, a great way would be to free up some money in defence and moving one of those. If you've got two Chelsea defenders, Chelsea's good run has gone. And to be honest, their defence hasn't been that great. Except, and I know people say, what are you talking about? Chilwell, James. They're great. But if you want a clean sheet, perhaps you're not going to get that. But if you want attacking returns, yeah, Chilwell and James. But if you're sitting there with Rudiger and James, or James and Christensen, so I had Christensen last week, then perhaps freeing up a little money to someone like Mitchell could be quite a shrewd move. I like that.
I think so. I think we might start seeing a lot of people going to three at the back, and seeing people like Mitchell and Livramento on the bench a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of people as well on Twitter have been asking whether Eze coming back is going to hurt Gallagher moving forward, and I don't think it is, personally. I feel like Gallagher is integral to the way Vieira wants this Palace team to play, and I'd be very, very surprised if he drops him anytime soon.
Yeah, definitely. He is probably surprised to himself. He's in the England setup now. So, yeah. He would like to maintain that. So I think he's a great option. We'll come to my team decision a bit later, and other people might be in a similar position at the moment to go for a sort of 6 million and below midfielder. And Gallagher is in the running. We had a community question from Conrad on this. He was talking about, is it worth getting Bowen despite the difficult fixtures? Or is Gallagher pointing out that with two goals and two assists, I think he got one assist on here, but I think, the last seven. So two goals and two assists in the last seven. Or perhaps Cornet at Burnley, or Cornet even. And so, there's a lot of choice there. And Smith Rowe, who you like as well. And Saka can do. I mean, there's so much choice, isn't there?
Yeah, I think for me, if it was between all those ones, to be fair, I think we do have to start thinking about West Ham as a top four team, because they're getting the results every single week. And I think Bowen is very, very good for that team. He's obviously taken a lot of set pieces. And with West Ham, we know they're going to do well at set pieces. You know, Zouma even scored the other day, didn't he, finally?
Yeah.
But I look at those options. Cornet, I'd be worried that I wouldn't want to bring him in, and then in a couple of weeks' time, he's going to be off to African Cup of Nations as well. So that kind of puts me off him a little bit. I do like the Arsenal boys, but I don't think I'd be investing in them now if I didn't have them already, because that run's not quite as nice anymore. But I would find it so hard to look past Gallagher. You know, he plays so well. Even against the tough teams, he plays well. And I feel like the one caveat for me, if you had Gallagher, was you'd have to play him every week.
Oh, yeah.
I really do, yeah. Definitely. I think if you had him and you were thinking you could bench him some weeks, he's going to hurt you, I think. And he hurt a lot of people this week. So no matter what, I think you've got to play him every week. He's almost like a Socek from last year, at the beginning of last year. So if you've got him, play him.
Yeah. So the fixtures are, Chris Price's got Burnley, Villa, Leeds and Manchester United. That's four weak defences. And even though Manchester United is sort of flagged as a tough fixture, defence-wise, they're not.
Yeah.
So the likes of Gallagher could definitely get returns there. He's my top choice. As you said, I don't, for myself, it all depends on Livramento's fitness. He had an injury going into the international break, but I don't need Gallagher at the moment. He would just, it's a place that's on the bench currently. But I do want him at some point. So I might miss out against Burnley.
For me, I think it's going to be someone like Mbeumo going to Gallagher. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. If you're holding someone like Mbeumo, somewhere around that, 5.56 million mark, if they're underperforming like Mbeumo is, I think you can move to Gallagher and be quite happy, to be honest.
I think Brentford have Newcastle up next. Mbeumo is...
That's last chance saloon for me.
Yeah, it's definitely. That's his last go. If he does, all the times he hits the woodwork, they just all go in this time. Yeah. Then you've got a decision to make. But if he keeps hitting the woodwork again... That's an easy move to Gallagher. But for me as well, I'm not thinking about it this week. So we're sort of future gazing a bit. But other people might be in a situation where they want to make that move, or they've already made that move.
And be two free transfers, freeing up money in midfield to go up to Kane. I think if you brought in someone like Gallagher and Kane this week, I think you'd be very happy.
Yeah, definitely. Let's have a look. I've got a section here. It says sort of miscellaneous, any other business. So this is sort of a mishmash of things. This was when I thought Seb might be involved as well. So he might have his, over and under achievers tables we could put in. So we haven't got those because he's not here. So we've got some other tables and look at goalkeepers. But before that, I've got goals imminent table. So people can insert their own round of applause in their heads for that one. We've got Norgaard at top with Brentford. The thing about Brentford is promoted side. And Norgaard at set pieces, he's had 13 goal attempts. Is that all from set pieces, corners? And
I don't. Not all of them, I don't think.
But nine shots inside the box. So that's why, I mean, I look at like Satonian and Bomo, and I'm just saying, well, why don't you just get Norgaard in?
Yeah.
And put him first sub or something.
He does do it. He's involved every week. He's somebody that I looked at one point and thought, oh, no, I can't get him. Because Mbeumo, like you said, was getting all those chances and he was basically playing up front. But I think Norgaard's been one of those sneaky ones. I think a few people might have got him in on a wild card and they've probably been quite happy.
I think so. He has got the stats there to back it up. Brentford's fixtures are still good for the time being. Redmond is on there. Big caveat with Redmond. Fans, long-time fans of this table will know that Redmond is always on it. He always has at least 10 goal attempts and no goals. That is he's permanently on this. Sometimes he does score, though, but very rarely leaps off with two goals. Tony is there, so those with Tony might want to keep for a week. I think Newcastle, like you were saying with Mboma, that's sort of the thing to do, isn't it? And Bowen is there, and he's tough fixtures, but see, for me, it's Gallagher or Bowen, really.
He's coming up on all our lists.
He is.
And we both keep saying, Bowen, but he's everywhere, isn't he?
He is. Cancelo is underperforming. So
he's so good.
He's got a goal imminent. Lots of assists, lots of amazing attacking play, but is this right? Six, it's one of these figures you look at it and you go, is that right?
He's top for goal attempts.
16,
he's just ridiculous.
16 goal attempts, no goals. Four of those inside the box, seven on target. That's the most on target of anyone on this table. Four starts. Expected goals wise, you're looking at he should have scored at least a goal.
I tell you what, if I was a gambling man, Cancelo captain this week.
We all look at things on Twitter and things, the memes and things, and these newfangled things like that. But they come up in your heads as well, like Spider-Man 1. And as soon as you said that, I had the image from the Big Lebowski of the guy dusting his giant bowling balls, because that's what it would take.
If people did it last week, people benched Cancelo last week, and I was saying you cannot bench him against Manchester United.
I saw that, and I thought, what's going on? Am I? Because I was off. I was busy with work or something for a day, and I came back to it just before the last. And I saw, first of all, I saw people benching Livramento, and I thought, okay. And then I saw people benching Cancelo. And I just thought, what the hell is going on? Yeah. What have I missed? And people were selling
people just
Rafinha.
Got worried, didn't they?
People went mad that week. Hopefully, they're a bit more sensible this week. But Damari Gray still trucking along.
Yeah.
So if you still got him, he's not an urgent removal, but you remove him soon.
I don't know. I think for him being 0.1 million less than someone like Gallagher, I think I would be very, very trigger happy
I'm going to assume, I've got Saar at the moment and he's on my bench. And if Gray is a bench player anyway, it's not urgent. But if you're relying on Gray every week, probably get rid now, despite him being on this table. And Ronaldo propping it up. 10 goal attempts, 9 inside the box, 4 on target. This is. I'm keep an eye on Ronaldo. I think he's good, isn't he?
You know he's going to be greedy. You just can't trust him for 12.4 million. Not being able to trust him is not great value for money, I don't think. But with those fixtures coming up,
yeah, definitely. So we've got a chance to have a look at Manchester United. See how they're good. I've got another table here in any other business. Goalkeepers. So what I've got here is the top 10, and I've sorted it by minutes per se, but there's a few things to look at here in terms of how many clean sheets they get. Obviously, you get points for that. How many goals they concede. Obviously, you don't want that to be too high. Minutes per save, so how many saves they're getting. And XG prevented. And that's basically how good they are as a goalkeeper. So are they actually preventing goals? So plus is good, minus bad. So are they actually a hindrance to their defence, or are they aiding? Top in terms of minutes per save is Tim Krul at Norwich.
No shock there, really.
Yeah. So, but as you can see, it, that doesn't make him a player to recommend, because he's conceded 10 goals and he's actually cost his side at least one, maybe two goals, one clean sheet. This is the last four. That's not good. So then we've got Ramsdale. Ramsdale I like here because he's the one that he ticks all the boxes. Goals conceded, three. That's hardly any. And clean sheets, two. Great points. Minutes per save, one every 22.5 minutes. Lots of save points. XG prevented. He's actively, he himself has prevented nearly two goals.
Who was it he was playing against when he had that incredible game? Was it Villa?
I think it... No. The Villa game, they were pretty poor. It was... I can't remember
who it was now. Whoever it was.
Someone in the live chat hopefully will help us out.
It was like watching Martinez, wasn't it?
Yeah, last year.
It was just... fair play to the lad as well, because he had a lot of stick when he signed there. And Arteta got a lot of stick for wanting him as well. But I look at that list and he stands out massively for me. And I tell you what, if I own Sanchez, I would be moving to Ramsdale this week. Yeah. I would look at it as a it was Leicester. Jump.
Hey, thanks live chat. Aidan,
Leicester, that's it.
Raymond, Paul, Bruce, John, all of you. You can stop saying Leicester now. Thank you so much. he was incredible against Leicester. Yeah. And he plays Liverpool. So if you've got him, you would want to play him, because look at the minutes per save. So you can get save points there. Yeah. And if he has an amazing... You know, he's capable of a big haul there, even if he concedes. So it's tempting to get him in, very tempting to get him in, because it's a long-term play.
I'm looking at, I've got Sa, so I've got Jose Sa, and I'm looking at it and thinking, he concedes so late every time. But I'm looking at it and thinking, I mean, 5 million, I could probably go down from there. But I just look at Ramsdale and... I just think he's the keeper to own at the moment. I genuinely do. Yes, the fixtures have been nice, but Arsenal, I've already said, are a bit more of a defensive team this year. If I was on Sanchez, I wouldn't be enamoured by Sanchez at all, and I would probably be making that move personally.
And further down the list, you're looking at Sarr there, and De Gea. They are good in some respects and poor in others. So Sarr, no clean sheets. De Gea, one. Last four. 11 goals conceded for De Gea. Sar, six better, and they're minutes per save, so they're doing well for the minutes per save. But De Gea is actually costing his side goals, and Sar is the only one in our top 10 apart from Ramsdale who is in the plus there, who's actively preventing goals. So he's a good keeper.
He does get you the odd 3-pointer rather than 2-pointers as well.
And then, so Martinez is there. I mean, the cost there, 5.5, no clean sheets, 11 goals conceded. It doesn't really matter what the others are. He's failing at those ones. Pope, similar, no clean sheets, 5.4. Then it's Sanchez. And this is why people who have Sanchez, they can't play him, might think, well, this could be the time I make a move. If you don't have... So I've got Steele as my backup. Some people might have, say, Foster... but they might not have a backup. I think I was listening to the Always Cheating podcast, and I think Brandon was saying that he had Jed Steer, I think, as the backup.
Yeah, I've got him. Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. You've got that sort of arrangement as well. So there are people like that. So,
well, we had Jed Steer because Martinez is going away every now and again, isn't he? Yeah.
So in terms of minutes per save, it's one every almost every 30 minutes. So that's not cruel, that's not Ramsdale level, so he's falling down on that respect. Just one clean sheet but seven goals conceded, so you know, not losing too many points there. But in terms of, is he a good goalkeeper, his XG prevented is nearly two under, so he's actively costing his side.
Somebody that's not on there, and I'm quite surprised, and actually a few people in the chat now mention it as well, is Gaeta.
Hold that thought, because I'm not going to put another table up, but I do have some Guita stats. So,
lovely.
Alvaro Fernandez is on there as well. He's only just started playing, no clean sheets, and he's actively cost his side a goal. Meslier just trucking along, but look, it's five million. Fabianski five. I mean, if you've got 5 million spare, Fabianski, why not? You know, he's got three goals conceded, two clean sheets, and minutes per save is 32. So it's not as good as some of the others. But, you know, all of that list says to me Ramsdale, doesn't it? But they were talking about Guita as well. So you mentioned the Palace's very kind fixture run. And what I did is I had a look down the list of goalkeepers. So I did the next five in terms of minutes per save. It's Meslier is next with a save every 32 minutes. Then Darlow at Newcastle, 36. And then Guita every 40 minutes. He's had two clean sheets, though, and he's only conceded three goals. So he's doing very well in terms of getting the clean sheet points. He's doing very well in terms of not having points docked off him for conceding too many. But in terms of the amount of saves he's making, it's not Ramsdale level. It's not even Jose Sarr level. And also he's sort of minus 0.220, which basically means he's sort of neither costing nor being exceptional. He's just a jobbing goalkeeper. He is a good asset. I think he would be second choice for me after Ramsdale. Yeah. And if you play fixtures, he's immediately got three great fixtures. McCarthy's next with three clean sheets, just two goals conceded. He's in the plus in terms of expected goals prevented, but it's a save every 40 minutes. So once again, it still can't quite compete with Ramsdale, but a good option. And Mendy at Chelsea, 6.2. So, you know, you'd expect better. Three clean sheets, good. One goal conceded, ooh, very good. Save every 40 minutes, though. So you're not getting those save points. And when fixtures stiffen, if you can't rely on clean sheets, you've suddenly got a 6.2 goalkeeper. And so he's far behind for me. But sounds like we're both Ramsdale fans. And
I think so. Yeah. It's who I'd be going for.
Yeah. And but yeah, it, very wise, all those people mentioning Guita. I think he is a good option. He'd be second for me, I think. But if you're playing the fixtures. Let's have a look at the next four game weeks. So, looking at the season ticket, this is why we're talking about Kane and Son. Tottenham are top, Leeds, Burnley, Brentford and Norwich they've got. And then Newcastle. So, if you new manager bounce, it's all Bournemouth 2.0, isn't it? Getting the band back together. Brentford, Arsenal's a tricky one. And then they've got Norwich and Burnley at home. So, they've got three great home fixtures. Callum Wilson is a player I have my eye on. And I know other people do. And I think he is a good, you know, like when I got that rank rise with Armstrong, you're going to get a good rank rise with Callum Wilson. And I think he'll do well in this bunch of fixtures. My man, Chris Wood, Cornet as well for Burnley, they're third. Crystal Palace, Tottenham, Wolves and Newcastle, you know, there are all opportunities there. Then Norwich. But further down, this is why, anyone who's got Watford players are either not playing them or benching them or getting rid of them. Manchester United, Leeds, Chelsea, City, that's really bad. Everton, City, and then Brentford, that's okay. And then Liverpool, Arsenal, so that's poor. And then Arsenal. So even though we're recommending Ramsdale, there is that caveat that immediately at the moment, the fixtures aren't great.
You say that. Liverpool away, obviously, isn't. But then Newcastle at home, United away, Everton away. Yeah. I don't think they're that bad. I can see them getting two clean sheets in those next three.
I think
Liverpool away, not so good.
I think Manchester United is going to be tough. But there could be some save points. Newcastle, as I said, I do think Newcastle are going to be scoring.
We'll see.
I have faith. I'm chasing the Callum Wilson unicorn here.
Yeah.
Everton. Yeah, Everton and Newcastle. Yeah, I reckon at least two out of four clean sheets. So,
I think so, which isn't bad when you consider he's less than 5 million. Yeah.
And West Ham is patchy. I've got Antonio for Wolves. I'm playing him against Wolves' defence. Yeah. They play high. So they got City after that, and Brighton and then Chelsea. So it's not great fixtures for them, and they're low down. And Southampton's fixtures turn a bit, really. Norwich, great. And this is why I'm saying Livramento's going to move back to the bench. And Armstrong's going to move on to someone else. And that is because he's got Liverpool, Leicester and Brighton from game week 13 onwards. And they are not great fixtures there. But yeah, do you have a look at differentials? So do you want to go first? I mean, often our differentials are based on the fixtures. So we're looking at next four. But who is your differential to go with.
So my differential is, I am looking for a bit of a new manager bounce. And my differential is Teemu Pukki.
Ooh.
So I know a lot of people are going for someone like Wilson, and I can see why, but I think I'd be waiting for Wilson until game week 14, where he plays Norwich and Burnley in a row.
Yeah.
But I like the fact Norwich have Southampton. I think Southampton at home is an okay fixture. I know Southampton have been quite good defensively. But then they've got Wolves, then Newcastle. I think those next three games is quite nice. Pukki is... He's going to be looking for goal scorers in his team, and Pukki's obviously that man. He's on penalties too. If they have any kind of a bounce, you expect Pukki to do okay. So, he's owned by less than 5% of managers, and I think he's somebody that you could put him in your team, and actually you could get something in the next 3 weeks.
I think he's great. I mean, if people think that Tony's going to do well for him, then they should certainly think that Pukki's going to do well. And I think, new manager bounce. They've got great fixtures. They haven't overall got the team to do well, but Pukki can score. All it takes is a couple of penalties, one goal here, and suddenly you might have returns in most of those matches. And you're going to get... I mean, what's Pukki's ownership now? I mean, obviously, within this, under 5%.
4 point something, I think.
So you're pretty much getting all of those. So he gets you 9 points. He gets you pretty much 9 points there. There's no half measures. On a similar theme... My one is Christian Benteke, who where people will raise their eyebrows and even more so than those unicorn pictures, is 1.3% owned, 2 goals in his last 4, just scored for his country. So with Lukaku's injury, he's scoring at an international level. He's got great fixtures. So he's got form. He's a differential. He's got great fixtures. And best of all, he fits in my unfashionable, we'll come back again, this table of unfashionable picks. But he is the absolute poster boy for the unfashionable picks.
He is, to be fair.
No one wants him because they've all been, but I remember when he got a red card. I remember when he missed that penalty. I remember when he was left out of the team. Well, I've been playing so long. I remember when he was absolutely sensational at Villa. And I remember captaining him and fired up the rankings thanks to him. And so I still love him. And I think, anyway, I picked Trossard last week. Benteke is my pick this week. So let's hope I'm on a mini roll.
I'll be honest. I think we've done okay with our differentials this year.
Yeah, we're awesome.
I think we've hit them most weeks, I think.
Yeah.
So there you go. Pukki hat trick and Benteke brace this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think these are good. I think because we've got mega owned Salah and we've got... huge ownership for a lot of other players, and players like Kane and Son, their ownership's going to escalate. There's not much room to get your Armstrongs and your Benteke's and all these types of players and Pukki. So get them while you can, and doing well, I think. Let's have a look at the community team. This is Alex's team we've been running. So Alex is a community member, done really well. He's had a top 100 finish before, but he's under doctor's orders, don't play FPL this season. So he's given his team to us to manage on his behalf to sort of maintain a good rank. So the pressure is on, really. But this is his team. He had a sensational week of 75. Which was 43,000, I think, was the game week rank for that. So really, really, really good. Since we wildcard in game week 7, he was 783,000. So getting on for 800K. And game week 11, we got him down to 208,000. So 4 green arrows in a row. And that has been through a combination of, the solid, well-owned picks, your shields, and your sword. So I'm taking it right back to basics here. And last week we got Alexander-Arnold, Cancelo. We shifted, we used the opportunity to shift Christensen and upgrade him to James. We still have 2 free transfers left as well. So Salah we captained. Zaha we mentioned, great differential. Rafinha, people are getting rid of him. Not Alex's team, we want him. No. Saka, well, maybe we should have gone for Smith Rowe, but as soon as you get rid of Saka, he's going to score. Vardy, we've got Tony and Antonio, and on the bench, we still benched a whole lot of points with Foster, Rudiger and Livramento. So we have 2 free transfers, and I think, and we'll put this out to the community as well, what to do. And I think we should tap into Spurs, I think, with the fixtures. Vardy, and we don't need Rudiger. He's going to be on the bench.
Yeah, straight away when you put that up, I was thinking Vardy and Rudiger.
Vardy,
Kane and someone.
Kane and Mitchell. From Palace, when you said that.
That's where my mind went straight away.
It's exactly what I was thinking. And so we have some agreement on that, which is good so far. And I think that would be a really good move there. And we can put Mitchell first sub. And also, we could play him even. And he could be in... which certainly covers some of those poor Southampton fixtures. So Livramento can stay on the bench. Our other option, we could do Vardy and Luiz down to a 3-5-2 and get Son and a 4.5 striker. But coming up to Christmas, I'm not so keen on that.
I don't like that quite as much, to be honest.
No, I think that's good. It also leaves us room to perhaps have Ronaldo. So I'm really pleased with that, really. And these are the... this is how our Alex's team's done since we wildcarded. And the reason put up there is that it shows... I think we were a bit more cautious with our wildcard with this team because it's not ours. And it shows that being cautious and paying attention to those swords and shields can just keep it back to basics, really. And that can do you wonders for your team. Nothing fancy pants. Just do that, really. So, moving on to our team reveal. Shall I put me up first? Here we go.
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it. So this is me. I'm going to captain Salah. I think he will still get a return and his ownership will be so huge that, you know, you just got to play that game. And Kane is a differential enough for me as a vice captain. But I may switch that. I may be persuaded, but I quite own that. So I'm going for a 4-3-3. I'm playing Jason Steele, the Brighton. For some reason, I've got the Brentford backup goalkeeper and the Brighton backup goalkeeper. Funny how FPL works. So, and that means I can play him against Villa. So that's fine there. And I can possibly make a goalkeeper move another day. Chilwell, Cancelo, Alexander-Arnold, they are just playing every week. Livramento against Norwich. I think he was pictured in training, so which is good. And I think it was more of an international injury. Salah captain. I've got Jota, so that's the way I can get Liverpool points.
Yeah.
Rafinha, he's good. I don't know if anyone noticed. Armstrong's got Norwich, and I can't see him being dropped for Broha. I just can't see that happening. Antonio, I'm just playing it simple now. Antonio's good. He's got Wolves on playing.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Kane has got two back-to-back hat-tricks and plays Leeds. And on my bench, I've got Fernandes, Saar, Cody and Sissoko. So pretty bench. But it's if there's any hint of any of these players not starting, then I'm quite happy to go in as Saar with my first sub against Manchester United, to be honest. Saar to Gallagher would be easy and play Gallagher instead of Livramento or whoever else is injured. And Cody, I'm quite happy to keep there for a while because he's just going to be on the bench and he plays. I'm actually looking to save a transfer this week, so I don't know whether I can. And then next week, I've then got Armstrong and Saar to decide what to do with.
Yeah, I think you can 100% roll that. There's nothing there that I'd be scared about not owning, personally.
No, and last week was one of those rare weeks for me. Even when you look on live FPL and they have the sort of the shruggy shoulder man, as in it doesn't matter what happens to your rank, and it has a spy in the midst, so you know it's going to hurt your rank, and a skull and crossbones. And I didn't have any skull and crossbones for anyone else, any other teams. I had the main around my rank I've had the main shields by chance, and that's not going to happen every week. It's going to be rare, but
that it looks a very good team personally.
Okay, I'll go with your team. So your team, broadly similar. So do you want us to take us through your team and your captaincy and any potential moves you might be making?
Yes, so at the moment I'm in 4-4-2. So I've got Jose Sa in goal. I've got Chilwell, Cancelo, Alexander-Arnold and Rudiger at the back. Then I've got Foden and Mbeumo, Salah captain and Havertz at the moment. Then Tony and Antonio up top. I've got Livramento and Saka on the bench. The reason I'm not mentioning the other two bench players is because it's Jed Steer and Richardson, whose first name I still don't know.
No.
Yeah. So I am very happy with this team, to be perfectly honest. I am getting rid of Havertz. There's talk about Lukaku potentially being back as well. Havertz was only going to ever be 3 weeks, so it's going to be Havertz to Son this week. Still going to be captaining Salah. I think I'm going to be playing that game anyway. You know, but it's just going to be too high, and he could return.
You've got the money to do that, the Havertz to sort.
Yeah. I kept the money, so I had the money free from downgrading Ronaldo ages ago. I think so. I moved up Chilwell from Christensen, and then I kept it to do Havertz to Son this week.
If you were another player, so to help people out who might be in a similar position, they've got Havertz, but they can't quite get to Son, but they would like to. Yep. What would they? Who would go for you? Who would go?
In terms of if I need to downgrade somebody else,
yeah.
Be Rudiger, I think.
Okay.
I think I would downgrade Rudiger to a 4.5 to someone like Mitchell, like we've mentioned already. Somebody like that. I mean, Rudiger. What is Rudiger now? I can't remember how much he is now.
He's over five and a half and below six.
Yeah, exactly. So I just downgrade him down to somebody for 4.5, I think. Play three at the back. Yeah. And then play Saka or Livramento as well.
Yeah.
And I'd feel quite happy about that. I feel like it's a chance we've got to take with Spurs. And I want to get them in.
Yeah.
I think it is tough to justify it for a hit because we don't know so much about them at the moment, but not having any feels a bit tough this week. So yeah, I would feel good about that moving into this week then. And then moving forward after that, it's going to be Mbeumo probably going for Gallagher, somewhere like that. And we'll see then after that. Saka's probably going to be the one to go after that because his fixtures turn quite nasty.
Bruce in the chat is saying, suggesting play Livramento over Rudiger. So if Livramento is definitely fit, he's got...
Yeah, I could do.
You've got Norwich and you've already got Chilwell there.
Yeah, I could do. Leicester away. I could do, to be perfectly honest. I do like having Livramento first in my bet. And I'm looking at it and I'm expecting one of those City boys to potentially not play as well. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, I could do. I could put Rudiger on the bench. He's not going to get me much attack and return. So.
And we haven't mentioned Jota. So I mean, I've got Jota in my team as well. That is the way you get any sort of rank rise with Liverpool.
Yeah.
You tempted just to sack off Spurs and get Jota perhaps instead of Havertz.
I have looked at that, but I feel like with Salah and Alexander-Arnold, I feel okay. I don't know with Jota. I think I'd much prefer owning Son over Jota personally. By the way, that Bruce I think is Tim that I met at Fest. So hello, Tim, if that is you.
Why is he called Bruce?
I don't know. I think he came up at the very beginning saying that it was Tim from Fest. So okay. I'm pretty sure it is. If I'm wrong, then I apologise.
It's a man I met. He's called Tim, but he calls himself Bruce.
he should feel privileged. I remember who he is from Fest because I was...
I'll tell you what, it's his surname. It's his surname that you're probably going to remember, isn't it? 218-1982. Yeah. That's the one, isn't it?
No, he says it's me. See?
Hey, it's Tim.
Yeah. There you go.
Hello, Bruce. Tim. great. I think I tell you what, we're both full of optimism and beans about game week 12. And you know, that means one thing. We're going to have an absolute stinker. The first game week back after international break is notoriously awful. I hate making transfers after it. Really? I just accept. So all the things we think are going to happen aren't. So there we go. Before we go, just remind people about the members area. That's where we got a lot of our lovely Opta driven data from, and the tables. There's the comparison tool, Rate My Team, and many more. And of course, the goals imminent table, which we did focus on. Do check that out. In the meantime, it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Goodbye, all.